It's aspirational. So hope is not a dream. It's not a toxic positivity. It's based on some solid research that's come out of positive psychology. And I only found out about a concept called, Miriam, to your point, this idea of trauma, that I always had this impression that trauma was a negative, that trauma was something that happened to me and sorry for me. And during lockdown, I discovered the most amazing information.
It's not this positive affirmations. It's this deep inside you believe that it's possible to create a better future and that you will figure out a way.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization Show, the home of Googleization Nation, where we talk with HR and business thought leaders about the crazy, never normal shift going on all around us. Our goal is to bring you ways to reimagine tomorrow and explore the ever-changing convergence of people, business, and technology. Here is your host, Ira Wolf.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization Show. Thank you for being part of Googleization Nation. I'm Ira Wolf. If you think this is just another podcast, think again. This is the voice of the most important conversations on the future of work confronting business leaders and people today. Our goal is to bring you ways to reimagine tomorrow and explore the ever-changing convergence of business, people, and technology. In other words, my goal is to help you make sense of this messy, weird, unfamiliar, fascinating world that we seem to be careening toward. About 8 years ago, I stepped onto the stage, took my place on the red carpet, and gave my TEDx talk, which was titled, Make Change Work for You. I started my talk like this. Change has no stop button. The pause button doesn't seem to work. And the rewind button doesn't undo our past. And then I asked, why would anyone want to press fast forward? Well, guess what? Since that time in 2016, the world seems to be just standing on fast forward, but dancing on it incessantly. Many of us thought that change hit a crescendo in 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic nearly suffocated us. But once again, change proved to us there is no stop, pause, or rewind button. It just keeps going forward faster and faster. So I can't tell you how pleased I am to be joined today by two colleagues, Miriam Schmidberger and Rory Vandermeer from the AQI community, to talk about how to make change work for you and why AQ, or adaptability quotient, matters more than ever. You're not going to want to miss this. But before we get to Miriam and Rory, I want to thank Avanti once again for sponsoring this episode. Avanti's at the forefront of making everywhere work, work. Hopefully, you've had the opportunity to listen to the past few episodes when we've been talking about adaptability as well. And you've heard about my experience at the Avanti Solutions Summit 2024. Well, I've been able to secure a few of the keynote opening videos, which are simply some of the best videos I've seen that capture opportunities and challenges about the future of work. For those listening and not watching this episode, I'll put links to the videos in the show notes. But let's watch. It only takes about 2 minutes, and hopefully you enjoy it. For those listening to this podcast, you can watch the video by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Now, it's time to bring on our guests, Miriam Schmidberger and Rory Vandermeer. Miriam is a change, angle, and performance coach. Find out what that is. Miriam combines inner work and personality development with scientific down-to-earthness. With a variety of intuitive tools, she can be your fast-track guide to a powerful leader role within your life and business. Rory is the author of the Hope Shift Framework. Describing himself as a hoper, H-O-P-E-R, Rory has embraced curiosity and continuous lifelong learning. He's a multi-talent professional who seamlessly integrates his skills as a psychologist, coach, project, and change manager to translate strategic goals into practical, real-world outcomes. Let's welcome Rory and Miriam to the stage.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Ira. Hi, Ira.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. We've got a lot of points of the world covered today. Ireland, South Africa, and the U.S. So terrific. Let's start with you, Miriam. Kind of give a little bit of background. One is explain what a change angle coach is, but talk about a little bit of how you got into adaptability.
I actually got into it by realizing that being adaptable makes you comfortable in most of the situations that you can face in life. And by this, I really dived into this, how to become adaptable. What does it really mean? How does it change my life? How does it change my role and my work environment? How does it change leadership? And I actually came from three different angles. The first was trauma release, because I realized what makes me unadaptable is, and all the people around me, if you stumble upon a trauma point that you are not aware of, that's like hidden deep inside you, you have like certain patterns that have to run. And when you release this trauma and transform this back into its natural state, then you're free from this pattern. And after that, I realized, okay, you can come from another side as well. You can work with habits, and you can like change, like with tiny tweaks, you can change certain habits and certain patterns and start to be more adaptable without like being so trauma driven. And then the last point that came into it was the connection between ancient wisdom and modern science, because most of what we now like scientifically prove is already there in those ancient texts we have available. And this together like forms my framework to bring adaptability in very individual ways into the lives of my clients and my personal life as well.
And what is a change angle coach?
Actually, I'm toying around with how to describe myself, since it's so broad at the one side and so specific on the other side. It is helping you to embrace change in a way that you can see that every change brings you growth presence and makes your life easier when you embrace this as a growth opportunity, like a growth accelerator. So yeah, that's basically
a work in progress. So like, yes, all of this. I would have a very, very long list if I had all the titles that describe me for my 40 years of a career. So I understand completely. Rory, same question to you, but also then you described yourself as a hoper.
So. Yeah, that really originated during lockdown, which was the South African response to the COVID pandemic. We went into what they call a hard lockdown. I think other countries were in shelter in place. I think perhaps New Zealand was the other country that was as bad as South Africa, but we were literally zoned into your home. And during that time, only essential services were allowed out on the street. So that time I was on a contract just before that, which was terminated literally a week before. So I went into that lockdown without work. And a week into lockdown, or in fact, just before lockdown, we had, Miriam, your point, we had a trauma where my son's girlfriend suddenly discovered she had some worrying lumps over here, and she needed to go in for emergency surgery at 21 for a thyroid operation. Now, her parents were involved in the environment of essential services in terms of, you know, looking for old age folks, doing field hospitals. And part of the challenge that we had was we had a safe space for her to come and live. And the challenge that we had was my first son is going, yeah, my second son is, that's not allowed, because the president said that only your family can be in lockdown together. So we had this incredible dynamic going on in the home environment. My wife and daughter looked at me and said, "You're the dad, you're the boss, make the decision." And of course, it was a lot of conversations over a period of time. And part of the challenge that we had as a family is how do we show up in circumstances that are out of our control? What do we have control over? And it was around that time that I started doing some deep dive research into what got me through lockdown was a sense of I was on that spiral. I could see the depression, the stress, the anxiety, the overwhelm. And I booked myself in through therapy on medication, diagnosed with depression, stress, anxiety, and all those good things, and worked through that. And part of it was what can pull me through and out the other side. And that was the sense of let's move towards what can be better. And that was that idea of hope for a better tomorrow. And part of that for me was it's aspirational. So hope is not a dream. It's not a toxic positivity. It's based on some solid research that's come out of positive psychology. And I only found out about a concept called, Miriam, to your point, this idea of trauma, that I always had this impression that trauma was a negative, that trauma was something that happened to me and sorry for me. And during lockdown, I discovered the most amazing information because one of my strengths is research and learning. And part of that, I deep dived into what's going to work for me. And part of that was the wisdom of trauma. So reframing trauma in terms of Gabo Mate actually crowdfunded a movie called The Wisdom of Trauma. And he says, trauma, it's not what happens to you. It's what happens inside of you because of what happens to you. So that goes back to my psychology roots. And a colleague of mine mentioned post-traumatic growth. And suddenly I was like curious because I hadn't heard of post-traumatic growth. But as I started exploring it, it suddenly made an amazing amount of sense based on my psychology, which I didn't even know. So I've now kind of put myself into making post-traumatic growth and adaptability and hope. Because the choice for hope is probably one of the most profound choices that we can make.
Rory, that's so powerful. And there's a million thoughts going through my head. I had to think when you stopped. I was like, okay, I got to figure out which one I want to go after. And we'll come to you in a second, Miriam, to get that response. But a few months ago, we had, or in fact, last year, you talked about positive psychology. So the father of positive psychology, positivity is Marty Seligman. He published a new book with Gabriella Kellerman Rosen, and yeah. It was called Tomorrow Mind. It's a really excellent book. We have the good fortune of being able to interview her last September, I believe. So it's hard to believe. It's almost 6 months, 7 months or so ago. And she talked about that, but they talk about that not only in the book, but in a lot of their research. Most of us are familiar with PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's the negative side. But they talk about post-traumatic growth syndrome, which is exactly what you talk about, what both of you shared. And part of that is that they did these massive studies. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of veterans who were in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, and then over the years. To be able to identify why do some people come out of those horrific, catastrophic situations and ongoing now. I mean, hopefully 10 or 20 years from now, we can learn a lot about what's going on in Gaza and Ukraine and other places in the world. You know, some people will come out of that hopefully for the better, but other people will be worse. And how do we capture that magic? And I think that's what we're here today to talk about, that adaptability. We're all looking for those cues, and we don't have to go that deep into it. But what attracted me to the AQAI group and especially the AQAI was really the model which was the ACE model, which was abilities, character, and environment. Because so often, just as we're talking here, is how can individuals get better at adaptability? But you can't do it alone.
That's right.
There's an environmental aspect to that. And obviously the COVID, you know, the pandemic and other environments are really terrible. How are the people that survive and sometimes thrive in those environments you know, what was the makeup? And so that's where I love that kind of model going there. Miriam, let's talk about kind of that journey. I mean, when you first were introduced to the specifically to AQ, I mean, or the model, what was it that sort of resonated with you? I mean, as I can go back, and as I said, I did my TED talk, I've been talking about change for well, most of my life, but you know, indirectly. But the TED talk sort of was that, you know, I thought I reached the pinnacle. I made it to the TED Talk stage. And then I realized there was so much more to be done. I was like, okay, what's the solution? We can talk about how change is constant and ever going. And then all those events, anywhere from our presidential election happened like 2 months later, which was, you know, the upset of the millennium. And then, you know, the pandemic a couple years later. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. So when you saw the AQAI or was introduced to the model, what was it that resonated with you?
So first of all, what I really like about it is making it visible for people. And like you can see adaptability in different categories and dimensions. And so that was the first thing, making it visible, then it's easier to tackle for people, especially people that don't want to dive that deep into all the research and all this. And the second thing that I really like about it is the three categories, like environment and character and I forgot the first one.
Abilities.
Yep. Abilities. Yeah. And that the abilities are those that are like my personal, under my personal control, that I can really like change in a way, like independently from others. And that the others, that they are not like just these sliders where you get from zero to perfect, but that they are like making the span, like the from one, like the two-sidedness of things, like making this visible and showing you that you can travel from one side to the other, that you can have an awareness of this part of it and that, and that you can also start to see where other people are, in which way they think or perceive the world. And by this, making the communication in a community or a team easier. Like the holistic approach they have in this model to make it more. Yeah, I think it comes back to visible and easier to understand and grasp for people.
It's a roadmap. I mean, it's a map. It's trying to vision where you want to go. And so I like that as a roadmap. And again, it's not a cure because the environment's going to keep changing. And then it's, you know, I wrote an article last week. I think both of you commented or saw it. And it was about that the five abilities, which for those who aren't familiar with it, are grit, resilience, growth mindset, mental flexibility, and unlearning. So five: grit, resilience, mindset, mental flexibility, which is dealing with ambiguity and paradox. And then unlearning, not necessarily only learning, but they're like a team. And, you know, on a basketball court, which is where I got the analogy from, there's five members of the team. But if you have two all-stars and all they can do is shoot, but they can't, there's no defense. They can't run down the field. Sometimes you need those other players. So it's a matter of having those abilities, having people on the bench, having people when the circumstance change, is that they can fill in or adapt or pick you up and go from there. But there was an overriding question. You started out when I first kind of invited you on, Miriam, and I'm going to throw this out to both of you. Why does it seem so hard for people to adjust, to make change? We talk about it, we do it, and I know that's we can be here for the next 4.5 hours or 4.5 months or 4.5 years, probably talking about that question. But why is it so hard, even for us, to make those changes?
So what we found with ourselves and our clients is the fear of the unknown. Whenever you start to change something, you don't know like what it will be when it's changed. And what we also discovered is that most of us tend to stay more comfortable in a discomfort that's not too painful, instead of like facing the unknown, since the unknown seems so dangerous. That's why it kind of boiled down in our work.
Rory, what's your take? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. Certainly the sense for me is that, you know, again, I'm going to put it into a context. The AQ assessment and adaptability, as we're talking about it, workplaces. Now, those have also shifted. So even the dynamics of where we used to work and how we used to, I would always say the analogy I had is that I got into my car and I drove to work. So I was at home and then I went to work. It was a physical space and place. Mm-hmm. And during lockdown, the world changed. You now were working from home was the one expression, or you now talked as Ira, you know, you're now working from anywhere. But actually we were living at work. That was the complete shift. So another paradox that we've had to grapple with is, think about during lockdown, I know in South Africa specifically, we talked around social distancing as a way of preventing the spread. Now, they would tell us, you know, you need to cough like this and you need to keep yourself a distance of 1.5 meters. That's not social distancing. They used the wrong language. We had to physically distance to manage that whole transmission issue. It was not social distancing. And I think one of the things that Miriam picked up on specifically is that we are human beings and we are designed to connect and collaborate. And in fact, what we realized, and there's an article that I read in that first month of lockdown, published by the World Economic Forum, and it said, this is the biggest psychological experiment ever conducted on humanity, and we will pay the price. And they alluded to that price being the tsunami of mental issues around stress, anxiety, overwhelm, all the rest of it, which I've lived through. And part of that challenge is, that's why I looked at it and said, but what else? Because if I just sit there and wait for this to happen to me, I'm going to be stuck. I'm going mm-hmm. to be in that uncomfortable space that Miriam alluded to, but I don't know, it's unknown. I don't know how to get out. I don't know that I've got the effort or the energy or the drive or somebody pulling me out. And my default is I'm an extrovert. So in lockdown, when I was not able to talk with beyond my family, I was dying, literally mm-hmm. dying, which is why I became depressed and stressed and anxious, because the very thing that gave me energy was withheld. Mm-hmm. So I found a way to cope. And part of that coping is this, my passion point now is, how do we now get people to understand that we are all cumulatively, collectively traumatized? It's not something we wanted. It's not something we asked for. It is just the nature of how we are as human beings in this world. So the issue is, what are you going to do about that? And part of that, how are you going to manage that? For me, the reason I decided to get more involved, this is the only instrument that I found in the world that sees hope positively in a context of adaptability in terms of what mm-hmm. can yet be mm-hmm. and become and unfold mm-hmm. forward. So we're talking around better tomorrows, and it's not just a dream or a wish or a, but hope is actually, and I've called it now, wear power. Mm-hmm. So for me, Ira, I love your five. And in fact, I've kind of added on to yours, and I call it in the, South Africa's just won the World Cup rugby, for those that aren't aware, but we're great rugby players, and we've just won for the fourth time. And we invented something new between the coach and the team selection and the captain. They created this concept, Ira, your bench. They call it the bomb squad. So we have a collective 15 players on the field at any one point in time. And of those, you're allowed to have 23 total. So you have on the bench. And in that, always it's been, you have to have some forwards and some backs, you know, some defenders and some attackers. And South Africa went into the World Cup, and each game that they played at each stage, they did something radically different. They specifically, for example, they went in with initially a 4-4 kind of, then it went to 5-3, then it was a 6-2, and people were going, you can't do that. And eventually they went to the final on a 7-1 split. It's never, ever been done in the world before. But we won the World Cup by 1 point. And that's what I keep looking at in terms of, we need to be looking for examples of people that are breaking the mold or teams that are breaking the mold, because you're not going to be adaptable alone. It's a team sport. Leadership is a team sport, and workplaces are team environments. And for me, that was I wanted to add onto your post around the bomb squad on the bench.
Yeah, thank you. And just for the reference, I mean, in the U.S., we just had the women's NCAA finals, and it was South Carolina and Iowa, and there were multiple stars. And women's basketball just took a kind of a huge leap forward of what it means. The enthusiasm was one of the most watched events. But it was interesting because where that analogy came through is not only were there five abilities and there were five players, but South Carolina, when the five starters were on the court, the game was really, really close. And the lead shifted multiple times. And at half, it was tied. And then they came back. And as long as the five starters were on the field or on the court, the game was good, except they get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the bench and they started to replace some of the people. The problem is Iowa's bench scored 0 points the entire game. South Carolina scored 37 points off the bench.
Wow.
Which it just says, you know, and again, how do we relate this to how I relate it to AQ is I hear so often people say, well, how did you get through? You know, I've got 30 years experience. You don't understand how tough my life was. And they describe how gritty and resilient they are.
Yes.
Except eventually that gets tired. Eventually you have to change direction and change course. And where people get burnt out is I'm going to keep going because I'm not a quitter. And I get knocked down. You don't know how many times I got knocked down and how miserable my life was, but I always bounce back and they keep plugging away. And that's that hard work, that ethic, that Protestant work ethic. It's what we claim to be in the past, what got people through. And it was valid and we still need it. But eventually you need some supporting teams, some supporting members, and you need to stop and catch your breath. And sometimes that's all it takes is look for another direction. I can't believe we're at the bottom of the hour. I knew this was going to go really fast. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. But I want to pick up on the hope because, it's a really core piece. And I was just on a call this morning with Ross Thornley and some other AQI members. And it finally, something that was said hit me. And it just incidentally about hope that others may not be familiar with. We want to thank everybody for being part of Googleization Nation. You're listening to Geek Skeezers and Googleization. We've got Miriam Schmidberger and Rory Vandermeer. We're talking about adaptability, why it's so hard for people to change, how fast the world is moving, how we can develop post-traumatic growth syndrome rather than stress and trauma syndrome. And I want to thank you. We will be right back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Are your employees feeling stuck and just showing up for a paycheck? Is your workforce working harder to get back to normal than adapting to the future? It's time to help them break their addiction to certainty and develop a growth mindset. Developed by one of the world's top-rated future of work thought leaders, AQ Plus Mindset is a powerful tool to help your employees embrace change, adapt faster, and grow on the job. Conveniently delivered to any smartphone or laptop in easy to digest 5 to 10 minute lessons. Managers can sit back and watch employee attitudes shift towards growth and innovation in just 30 days. Are you ready to help your employees thrive in this ever-changing, never normal world? Encourage them to show more grit, resilience, adaptability, and unlock their potential? The journey to a growth-filled future starts with a growth mindset. Visit aqplusmindset.com or call 484-373-4300.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. We're talking today, favorite subject, about adaptability, change, making change work for you. We got Miriam Schmidberger and Rory Vandermeer here from representing Europe and South Africa. By the way, on the bottom of the screen, we also want to thank Avanti for sponsoring today's episode. You can download the 2024 Everywhere Work Report at adaptabilitytoolkit.com/2024 Everywhere Work. When we left off, we've been talking about hope and how to make it work, but I think hope's maybe one of the most powerful dimensions out of the 15 or so that are measured in the AQAI assessment. This morning I was on a call with Ross Thornley and a number of other colleagues, and we weren't there to talk about the dimensions, but in looking at some of the reports, it came up that out of the character, which is more personality related, and we're not saying that one personality is better at change than another, but different personalities impact how you see change. So an extrovert, as in Rory, great example, is that I need to talk with other people. I need to be engaged with other new people. I need to have that. And as an introvert, my wife and I loved the pandemic, and we often say, you know, we were together. We had us, and no one else was interfering with our lives. But I changed dramatically. We both did during that period of time. So it's how does an introvert pursue or relate to or get engaged with change? And how does an extrovert? And then another of the scales, which was emotional, it's part of the OCEAN model or the five-factor model, which was emotional stability. And it looks at, you know, there's certain people that are more reactive and responsive and impulsive. And there's other people that are more reserved and I won't say complacent, but that's almost a negative word, but cool, calm, and collected. And so it's how do different types, hope is one of those, we'll come back to that. But then we also had thinking style and motivating style. Some people see the big picture and other people get down into the details. But where hope fit is where I said that extroversion, you know, whether you're an extrovert or introvert, whether you're reactive or impulsive or more reserved and cool, calm, and collected, is not good or bad. It just is. And just knowing where you stand and how that affects your work and how certain circumstances may require you to come out of your comfort zone. Hope is the only character trait that actually has some positivity or negativity assigned to it. Because the opposite of hope is not, some people say, well, you have to be practical. You have to be a skeptic. You have to ask questions. But the challenge is if I'm asking questions because I don't understand how it works and how can that possibly work? I'm going to spiral myself into, you're almost convincing yourself for the status quo, where hope could be a skeptic could be hopeful, and they're just trying to figure it out and taking a different approach versus, you know, is it half full or half empty? There's still half a glass of water, you know, and it's which way are you going to look at it? So it was so powerful this morning. It sort of made sense. So I was so happy that, you know, both of you were on today. Kind of, you know, either of you can pick this up, but let's dig into that a little bit more, as I think that's part of the message here.
Can I jump in?
Go, Rory.
Yeah.
Go. So I have in my research around hope specifically, because as I said, that was why I looked for and then engaged the AQ assessment, because it was positive around we can be different. We can choose how we respond through the change and the, call it trauma, not even just change. And part of that is Napoleon Bonaparte, all those years back, said leaders are dealers in hope. That's where I came up with this concept of I'm an hoper, because there's a leader, there's a dealer, and then hope. You know, so well, what's the noun of the verb? So I need to be a hoper to actually hope. And part of that was, well, what does that mean? So the first thing for me around hope was that you need to know why you are hoping in terms of the direction, and set. So that's where power. Because remember, I'm saying at the bottom, you'll see there, I say fueling hope for sustainable change. And hope is around, you set the direction, you goal directed, you future focused, because you can't hope for yesterday. It's already happened.
You know, we seem to have, a lot of people hoping for going back to normal.
Yeah. So this idea is future focused. So that's the where power. The second part is that you've got to have willpower to get you through it. That's the motivation, the agency, and the attitude around I see change as it can be positive. It's not always only negative. Now, that's a decision you need to make. That's a mindset. It goes to our mental flexibility. It talks directly to what do we need to let go of and unlearn. And then the last one around hope is, so you've got where power, you've got willpower, then you need way power. Way power is once you've set those goals and you've got your objectives and you've got the wherewithal to actually motivate yourself to stick to your objectives, you then need that way power, which is how you will then manage through the friction. You will have challenges. You will have obstacles. You have to work out how and what else. How do I move around this, through this, over that? And that's where I keep looking to say, it's not always a solo game. This is where you need the team. This is where you need to have, and my wife is fantastic. My kids are amazing. You know, they will actually, sometimes when I'm not, they'll, Dad, come on now. You need to write that book. You need to do this. You need to, you need to be, because they become your cheerleaders, because sometimes you can't cheerlead yourself always.
Miriam?
Yeah, I completely relate to this. I would phrase it a little different, but it's actually the same in the big picture. For me, hope is the door opener. As soon as you believe that there is a better future possible, you will also find the answers for the how, because you will ask different questions. You will be more open. You will see more cheerleaders, for example, next to you. You could also have, like with your example there, with your family cheering you on, telling you to write this book, if your perspective of them would have been, oh, I'm in this house with this family, they will disturb the process because I'm not focused enough or anything like that, then you would have destroyed the possibility of being, of them being your cheerleaders. So what I feel with hope, it's really, it's not this positive affirmations, it's this deep inside you believe that it's possible to create a better future and that you will figure out a way.
Yeah, and just for those who are listening and not familiar, hopefully that's our goal, all three of us, is to help create awareness for, you know, of not necessarily that everybody needs to have IQ. It's like saying, well, everybody needs to improve their IQ or EQ. With AQ, is that part of that is, how do you do that? And that's where I found the model so powerful. Because when you look at mindset, which was based on growth mindset, therefore we're able to help people see challenges, these setbacks, as opportunities. You know, I had a student yesterday who came up to me, and his grade is literally 99.67.
Wow.
And there was one assignment, and it was a final project, and he wanted to make sure that he did a good job. And I certainly appreciate that. I mean, that was what you want. But he said, I really wasn't happy that I lost 2 points on this one particular assignment. And he said, can I review that and maybe make up those 2 points? I said, you know, this is totally insignificant. It's almost perfect.
Yeah.
And yet he was stuck on that. And the only value I can say was, I appreciate that he wanted to improve and learn from his mistake or failure. He thought it was, like, you know, we talked about failure so much in innovation and entrepreneurship, but it really was focused on the wrong, you know, the wrong thing, that people get stuck in that. But the hope message is incredible. I mean, and I know we talk about that with burnout, you know, the Surgeon General in the US declared burnout a national epidemic, World Health Association. It's now classified as a mental illness, as a form of mental illness and an epidemic. You know, the numbers are just catastrophic where we're headed. And part of it is people just don't feel hopeful. And you, Rory, you were talking about your elections. We're talking about our elections. And there's so many people that just want to go back because they see no hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how we got here, but we're almost at the end. I mean, we try to keep these within about 40 to 45 minutes, and always at the end, it's like, okay, now there's like, I got 10 more questions to ask. So we'll keep this conversation going. Hopefully you guys will come back and we'll continue this both within the community, but on Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. Before we get to how people can reach out, I'd like to do our lightning round. And what our lightning round is just to get to know each of you a little bit more personally. Miriam, let's start with you. So my first question is who's your go-to song? What's a go-to song? What's a go-to band that you listen to?
So I have several depending on my mood. So one is actually when something is bugging me. It's a German band. It's called Böse Onkels. That means in English something like angry uncles. And they are quite old already, and the text, so they sing or play in a quite a hard rock aggressive mode, but the text that they sing are really deep. So you get this anger out, and at the same time you get like wise words inside you, and by this it starts the process of already like going through whatever is bugging me at the moment. And yeah. Then I actually can't remember her name. It's a song about stepping out and showing yourself being vulnerable. And that's the other one when I kind of need a bit of courage to really step out and show myself. That's the other one.
Well, I guarantee you, out of close to 400 shows, we've never had your band mentioned. So, our musician. Rory, who do you go to?
So, Lightning Seeds is a really cool band for me. And I guess my kids would and my family would tell, I have to say, I like classical music.
Yeah, excellent. Good. I'll start with, I'm going to give this question to you, Rory. If there was someone future or past or present, obviously you don't know future, but a past or present that you could have an opportunity to sit down and go to dinner with, who would it be?
Probably two people, if I could take both of them to dinner, and they are our Nobel Peace Prize laureates from South Africa, Nelson Mandela on the one side. And on my LinkedIn profile, you see, I quote him. I said, he talks around, may your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. And the other one would be the other Nobel Peace Prize laureate for me, Desmond Tutu, because he says, let's stop pulling the people out of the river. Let's go upstream and find out why they're falling in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Miriam, what about you?
I actually have two as well. It would be Tony Robbins at the moment and Mark Divine, because they are both like, they are also so driven of finding ways to change in a way that you can perform even better, even more, like open up the horizon of what's humanly possible to do in a way that you serve others.
Yeah. So I'm going to adapt on the fly here for my third, because I had a third one lined up. but if you had that opportunity and both you know, both of your guests, you were able to invite them and they're sitting down at your table, Miriam, what would you ask? What's the one question you would want to ask them? I'm coming to you, Rory, so you get a warm up.
Yeah. I would ask like if they would like to give me their best of, like what they think is the most important to share with me to help me on my journey of discovering my potential.
Good question. Rory.
So for me, both of those two that I mentioned created a forum of, they call the elders. And mm-hmm. It's really that aged wisdom which I think is so critically necessary, because we're often talking around our workplaces and we're kind of talking around the youngsters, but the youngsters need to partner with wisdom, and the wise people need to partner with the energy of the youth. So for me, I would say download your wisdom so I can kind of become one of those wise old folks as well.
Rory, I've got your website scrolling across the bottom of the screen. For those who are listening, it's engagementdynamics.com. How else can people reach you?
Through LinkedIn would probably be the easiest. I'm quite prolific in posting. In fact, today was a really interesting one, just to go they talked around benefits realization or the possibility thinking. So it stretches our conversation from earlier. So it's not just about hope or adaptability or growth mindset. It's actually what can be. So yeah, I'm on LinkedIn a lot.
Yeah, excellent. I know we interchange, we communicate until today. That was our 100% of our communication was in LinkedIn. Miriam, what's the best way to get a hold of you, other than your website, which I'm going to put up scrolling in the bottom?
I think it's LinkedIn as well. I'm not as active on LinkedIn, but I'm there at least once a week. So if you're a little bit patient, then you'll reach me over LinkedIn. Other than that, it's more my co-founder and partner and husband who is doing all the communication, since I'm like more in the deep research and the direct work with the clients, and my own personal endeavors to on my high performance and challenge myself journey. But LinkedIn is perfect.
Excellent. And the name of your company is, what's the full name of the company?
It's Turtle Transformation.
Turtle Transformation.
Good. Yeah, and it actually has a story behind it, because we have a children's book in Germany, and there a girl will save her friends and her village and finally the world from gray men that steal their time. And a helper, a wise helper is the old turtle from the time guardian. And at one point they even go backwards, and that was such a great picture for us of this inner journey. When you start this work with yourself, you sometimes even have the feeling you go backwards, but it still gets you to your goal of growth.
As long as you're still moving, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you both. I know you came on somewhat spur of the moment within the last couple of days. Appreciate that. It's been great to meet you both face to face. Hopefully we can do that someday actually in person. And want to thank everybody for listening to Geek Skeezers and Googleization. Thank you for being part of Googleization Nation. We want to thank Avanti for being a sponsor. I just want to put up their banner one more time here, if I can find it. Where is their banner? There it is. Okay. Yep, to get the 2024 Everywhere Work Report, you can get that adaptabilitytoolkit.com/2024everywherework, or you can just go to the Geek Skeezers and Googleization site as well. Until next week, don't let the shift hit your plans.
Thanks for watching Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. Be sure to listen to the podcast and follow us on YouTube. This show was produced and edited by Hilton Productions.